cái tỉa chứ. Swarat pautram vinayinam Atmanah susamam gunaihi Toyani vyaha patim bhumer Abhyashinchat gajahvaye Swarat pautram vinayinam Atmanah susamam gunaihi Toyani vyaha patim bhumer Abhyashinchat gajavaye Swarat pautram vinayinam Atmanah susamam gunaihi Toyani vyaha patim bhume Abhyasinchat gajavaye Swarat pautram vinayinam Why was the king of Hastinapur, at least until the time of Maharaj Parikshit, accepted as the emperor of the world? The only reason is that the people of the world were happy because of the good administration of the emperor. The happiness of the citizens was due to the ample production of natural produce, such as grains, fruits, milk, herbs, valuable stones, minerals, and everything that the people needed. They were even free from all bodily miseries, anxieties of mind, and disturbances caused by natural phenomena and other living beings. Because everyone was happy in all respects. There was no resentment. Although there were sometimes battles between the state kings for political reasons and supremacy. Everyone was trained to attain the highest goal of life. And therefore the people were also enlightened enough not to quarrel over trivialities. The influence of the age of Kali gradually infiltrated the good qualities of both the kings and the citizens. And therefore a tense situation developed between the ruler and the ruled. But still, even in this age of disparity between the ruler and the ruled, there can be spiritual emolument and God consciousness. That is a special prerogative. Om Ajnanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhuvan Melitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvidamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. నమో మహాబలంజాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్వికే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి శ్రీరాధే బృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభాను సుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసది గౌర్భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే.
Thereafter, in the capital of Hastinapura, he enthroned his grandson, who was trained and equally qualified as the emperor and master of all land bordered by the seas. In the previous purport, there is a line. Maharaj Yudhishthira wanted to retire just to set an example for others. As soon as there is some young fellow to look after the household affairs, one should at once retire from family life to uplift oneself to the spiritual realization. One should not rot in the dark well of household life till one is dragged out by the will of Yamaraj. That Prabhupada wrote in the previous purport. So that's why, in connection to that, here we are reading today that Maharaj Yudhishthira appointed Parikshit as the next king. And he returned. And it is said here, Vinayanam, the word is used, which is, he was trained. So, in the Vedic literature we find, all the kings, generally worrying about the issue in their dynasty, who has to be qualified to become the next king. That is very important, because the king's role is pivotal role. He is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for all the citizens. A king is called as a Naradev. So, to represent God and give exactly what God wants for the welfare of the world is the role of a king. So, if a king doesn't have an issue which will satisfy this need, then kings would lament for not having a son, proper son. Then the ministers will have to worry about who can be the next king if a son is unqualified. So many lakshanas or many qualities will be seen by the board of brahmanas or ministers before they choose the next king. Not any Tom, Dick and Harry will be allowed to become the king. It is not like because somebody is the son of a king, he has to become the king. Nothing like that. There are two types of ministers. One is the ministers who support the king in warfare. Like, for example, giving the king ideas about how to defend the kingdom, or how to attack the enemy, or how to preserve the treasury, and how to, like, for example, in handling the citizens, there are one class of ministers. So there are different types of ministers which a king may have. Sometimes a king has a jester. Sometimes the king has a board of, Akbar Maharaja had a board of Ashtadik Gajas, 8 very learned people. So different kinds of people. Some people would be Sanskrit scholars. Some people would be Bhagavatam reciters. Some people would be Purohits, but there will be other ministers who help the king in ministerial and political affairs. But the most important of all the ministers were the Brahmanas, who were guiding the king in the ultimate level. The king would take advice from them and only then he would do. So the Brahmanas, they carry the message of the Supreme Lord. And they give them shape through the king. Because the Brahmanas have the wisdom. But they give wisdom a shape by the power of the king, by the power of the king's position. So, the training was given in accordance to the instructions of the Brahmanas for the next king. We will see a section from Srimad Bhagavatam. What is being spoken here is very beautifully illustrated in the pastime of the Vena and subsequently Prithu Maharaj. By hearing some lessons from there, you will be able to appreciate what qualities a king should not have and what qualities a king should have. So I had recently studied this section and made some 10 lessons from the life of Vena. So we would discuss, we would like to discuss this section in relation to, when you read this section, you understand how wonderfully Parikshit was trained. You can compare what were the atrocious qualities in Vena and how those qualities are absent in Parikshit. You can see that. I will not go to the prior part of Vena story, where the great soul, Anga. Anga was a pure devotee. He was a great soul. He had absolutely no fault. Still he got a very treacherous son, Vena. And Anga very piteously asked the Brahmins, what was the reason? Anyway, Brahman said, my dear Anga, there is not even a mental offense on your part in this lifetime, but due to some past sinful activities in the previous lifetimes, now you've got a son like this. What to do? You have to, bear to live with such a child. So this Vena was a very cruel boy right from childhood. So much cruel that he would sometimes even playfully will kill the children. Sometimes in the name of playing with them, he would even kill the small children. Anga wanted to banish him to forest and he tried many things. But at last, when Vena grew up, Anga got fed up with him and he once suddenly King Anga disappeared from the palace without telling anyone. And all the Brahmins, all the ministers, all the citizens, they were all lamenting, searching for the king. And that is the time the board of Brahmins, they all met together. What to do now? Because the king has gone. And now, taking advantage of this situation, all the rogues and thieves will exploit the public. So, when the citizens are not guided and protected by a king, then the citizens will become unregulated. When they become unregulated, then they will be exploited by the public. You see, in the material world, becoming unregulated is very natural in the conditioned stage. Unless there is some discipline and control by the king, the citizens by nature have a tendency to become unregulated. For example, the sense gratification that everyone wants to experience manifests in various ways. For example, if women are unregulated in improper dressing and the men are unregulated in drinking and smoking and obscene movies are being floated amongst the public and children don't do their studies properly, they are unregulated in studying and playing cricket all the time. And in this way, and if men and women, boys and girls in their relationship, they are not regulated in keeping a respectful distance, there is an unregulation. And people are unregulated in eating habits. For the sake of the taste buds, they start slaughtering the cows. Because of man-woman illegal relationships, they abort the children in the womb. These are all examples of unregulation of the public. Because there is no one in control. The king is not controlling and guiding the public. So the guidance of the king is very necessary. King should guide the public to understand the value of regulated life. Living a life of regulation, how it can, even on a material platform, produce happiness. And if the life is regulated with Krishna in the center, that can make one happy now and avoid spiritual world at the end of one's life. That way one is happy here and happy forever. Like that. So the Brahmanas were contemplating This is the first lesson, that without the guidance and protection of a king, the citizens will become unregulated and they will be exploited by others. How? For example, if one of the which was the country? There is one country where they banned the miniskirts. One of the countries. The reason was that because of that there was lot of adultery and lot of problems increasing. So they abandoned. In another country they banned drugs. Like Singapore, for example. They are very strict about drugs. There are some countries where you will be given life sentence if you are seen to be using drugs. In some countries. Similarly, there are countries where liquor is prohibited. Like in Arab countries, eve teasing is prohibited. So why you find some small prohibitions here and there? Because the problem went to such a peak that the government found it uncontrollable and they had to make a rule like that. So then there is exploitation. Like if a man is drunk, he will exploit his wife and children. If a woman is loose, then she will be exploited by other men and she will exploit other men also. Like that. If the children are unregulated in studying and using the money of the home, they will exploit the parents. This is all mutual exploitation by the citizens of the society. Now there is another exploitation, which is the rogues and thieves, plundering the people in society. They will loot the public and there will be corruption of all sorts, all forms. So Brahmanas contemplated that there has to be some action taken seriously. So they called for Sunita, the mother of King Vena. Mother of Vena, he wasn't king that time. So they asked her that we want to post your son as the king very soon. And all the ministers were opposed to that. Even against the opposition of the ministers, the Brahmanas posted Vena as a king anyway. Why? It is better to have a blind uncle than having no uncle at all. So it's better to have the king, some king at least for the time being. And who knows, if he becomes submissive to the Brahmins and submissive to the Lord and he takes good instructions, he may change. So Brahmanas gave Vena a chance and made him and coronated him as the king. And when they coronated him as the king, when the news spread around the country, the rogues and thieves, when they heard it, they all hid themselves like rats hiding from snakes. Because they were very afraid. Because the Vena was a very harsh and cruel person. And the kings and all the thieves knew this fellow will torture us. Nobody dared to come out. So citizens were happy by that. And when Vena came to the throne, what he did? He became even more proud. Already he was very proud and cruel. He became extremely proud. Boarding on his chariot, mounting on his chariot, he travelled all over the country. And wherever people were performing Vedic sacrifices, he stopped them. And he banned all the Vedic sacrifices. No Brahmana should perform any sacrifice. He made a rule. So when the sages came to know, when the Brahmanas came to know, they became very upset and angry. Again they had a meeting. They said, you see, now our citizens are facing even a far more greater threat. They are exactly like an ant which is caught in a, firewood. On either side there is fire and the ant is in between. He doesn't know where to go. Caught between devil and deep sea. Because here on one side there is the rogues and thieves attacking the citizens. On the other hand, in order to stop that danger, we posted a king. But the king is king has become enemy to the citizens by prohibiting them from surrendering to God and practicing religious principles. So the sages contemplated on this and they became very upset. Just for the sake of political crisis, we posted him as a king, but this fellow has blocked the progress of the general public. So we wanted to make him the king for the public welfare, but it's like feeding, milk to a serpent. When you feed milk to a serpent, the serpent becomes even more stout and strong and more vicious and venomous. So, keeping this in mind, they were thinking, So this is the second lesson. Yeah, the second lesson was that the sages contemplated on the ultimate good. You see, the ministers were contemplating on the political good, whereas the brahmanas were contemplating on the ultimate good of the people. Like, you know, why did the ministers say that you should not post Vena as the king? Because he's very proud, he's very harsh and cruel. So we should not post him as the king. That was the reason they said. But on the other hand, the brahmanas contemplated, but if you post him as a king, what would be the consequence? They contemplated. Then they understood. He will curb the rogues and thieves by his power. Sometimes he can take out a thorn with a thorn. And then, by our good advice, because we only are posting him as a king, he may hear our good advice. And who knows, tomorrow if he changes, after all he is coming in a very good lineage, of a very good family, kings in that family. So he may change. So keeping that in mind, the brahmanas posted him. So it's very difficult to make decision, but the brahmanas could decide that. And the third lesson is, kings who are involved in self-promotion, rejecting God. That's the lesson. You see, King Vena, he was promoting himself. This is one danger in the life of any leader. When we become a leader, there is always a tendency for increasing one's reputation, fame and name. And in the course of wanting to do that, one may start promoting oneself. Like, you know, there is no dearth of self-styled gurus in the modern times. So many organizations are springing up and so many types of people. Where, instead of speaking what Krishna says for the welfare of the public, people keep Krishna aside and they promote themselves. They promote their own fame, their own name, their own glory. Like there is this organization, like we have Vishnu Sahasranam. So some people have made Sai Sahasranam now. So in this way, they take all the divine names of God and they promote some human being as God. That is becoming commonplace nowadays. Similarly, here we can see King Vena was involved in self-promotion. Self-promoting himself as God and rejecting God. Then the fourth one is, spiritual danger is far more greater than physical danger. If people are attacked by the thieves and rogues and their wealth is looted away, it is not as dangerous as when their spiritual credits are stolen away, when their religious credits are taken away. Because wealth will come today and go tomorrow. But the pious credits, religious credits and the spiritual credits that we accumulate goes even beyond death. So they considered that the current danger is more serious than the earlier political crisis that we felt. Brahmanas realized that. So that is fourth lesson. Fourth lesson, you see, Brahmanas were so wise that they did not immediately dethrone him from the post. Whenever somebody commits a mistake, they should be given a chance to rectify. So contemplating this, they called the King Vena and they decided that let us make one more attempt to rectify the king. And if the king rectifies and becomes better, it is nice. We will be saved from the from sharing the sinful reactions of the king's activities. And if he doesn't rectify, we will destroy him with our brahminical prowess. They decided that. So now the sages assembled and they all went to the king. And concealing their anger, they spoke very sweetly. Especially when you have to advise a vicious person, or a cunning or mischievous person, one has to suppress one's anger and speak sweetly and give advice. That's like the brahmanas did here. Because, you know, if you overly become angry, then the purpose will not be served. Sometimes, have you seen, two people, they become so angry, their words also doesn't come out of the mouth properly. They speak like, and both are shouting and both don't know what each other is saying. Your experience of this, isn't it? So instead of just shouting like that, First you have to tell what is my grievance. First understand. So for that the other person should patiently hear. If you shout from the beginning only, then they cannot understand. Just like in the bus sometimes, bus or the train you find, no? Two people are sitting and then one fellow begins and then brr, 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 it just builds up. Like two dogs, you know, barking at each other. So ultimately it will be a small issue. They make it into a very big thing. So here the brahmanas, they were really angry. And the brahmanas anger is a sensible anger. It is not like anger arising out of some false ego or something. This is anger arising out of the concern for the public welfare. It's not just public welfare, for the spiritual welfare of the public. So they were internally very angry that this fellow is taking such a big position and he is mishandling the public. So keeping this in mind, they were angry, but they concealed their anger and spoke sweetly. So that is the sixth lesson. How to present one's interest properly. That is concealing the anger and presenting the word sweetly. So they said, "My dear king, we have come here today to give you good advice. Please hear us attentively." My dear king, one's duration of life, one's opulence, one's strength, one's prosperity, everything will increase if one follows the religious principles oneself and one helps the public to also follow the religious principles. And do you know what is the consequence of following the religious principles? One ascends to heaven, where one has a high standard of life and long duration of life in heaven. And such kings attain heaven, even if one promotes religious principles. So, it's the duty of every king. On the other hand, if one spoils the religious principles of the people in general, then such a king will lose his opulent position, royal position, and he will fall down by not training the public in following the religious principles. Such a king will fall away. And not only that, they also said it is the duty of the king to engage all the citizens in the Varnashrama Dharma. Occupational duties should be offered as an offering to Krishna, like Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. You all do your duties, and then Vishnu Raradita Panta Nanya Tattosha Karana. For the purpose of Vishnu, like Varnashram Vibhagasha Sva Anushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. That is the purpose. So, this is the duty of a king. So, see that every person, like for example, if we are preachers, preaching in any locality of any part of the world, our duty is to see that create a group of people following Krishna conscious path, and give them engagements in Krishna's service. See that everyone as Grihastha, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi in their own ashramas should have some service to identify with, where they do the service and they do it as an offering to Krishna. And if we are not engaging them, we become sinful by not engaging them. Because when we don't engage them, then they will tend to chase after sinful life. And we also will have to share that sin. So, that is why they were saying, this is the duty of a king. You have to engage the people in Varnashrama Dharma. Whatever occupational duty they are doing, they should offer a portion of their earning, portion of the service should be done as an offering to God and all that. by such religious activities, even a king will benefit, you will be promoted and all that, they are saying. So they gave this good advice to him. And then they said the Supreme Lord is worshipped by one's occupational duty and sacrifices. And when we do that, what happens? Then all the demigods are also satisfied. Because they are all like different parts of the tree. You water the root, the whole tree gets nourished. So, when Vena heard all this, good advice given by the Brahmanas, you know what he spoke in reply? He said, "It is very regrettable to see that all of you Brahmanas are so inexperienced. You are considering irreligion to be religion. You don't understand the real principles of religion. All the demigods, headed by Vishnu, like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Agni, even Kuvera, Yamaraj, all these people," he said, "they are all parts and parcels of the king of this world. All these people. And the king is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the sacrifices and austerities performed should be performed for the king. And the first oblations of sacrifice should be offered to me. This is what is to be taught. This is what you should be doing. And you should be teaching all the people in the public. And you people have become like unchaste wives. Who, after having given up her husband, is running after the paramour. Similarly, you people are leaving me, the king. You will see in the scriptures that king is Naradev. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He should be worshipped. Actually, he took a scriptural teaching and he misrepresented it. King is a representative of God. King is not God. But he said, king is God. And all the demigods are his parts and parcels, he said. And because you people, if you are actually intelligent, he said, you would have easily known that all happiness in this life and the next life can be obtained simply by worshipping the king as the supreme and offering the first oblations of sacrifice to the king and all that, he said. So, it is said due to sinful life, Vena was, Vena's mind and intelligence were bewildered and because of which he spoke like this. So when the Brahmanas saw this, they understood actually who is Vena. He is actually son of Sunita. Sunita is the daughter of God of death. So the daughter gets the father's quality and the son gets the mother's qualities. So because Sunita was daughter of God of death, so she got the father's quality. So she was very vicious and mischievous. Naturally, Vena became her son, so he got the mother's quality. So they contemplated that this fellow, because of this, he is by nature mischievous, and now he has lost all good intelligence. So the Brahmanas became very greatly pained in their hearts, and they were very angry. So the Brahmanas angrily shouted, "Kill this most dreadful and sinful person. If he continues to live, the whole world will be destroyed in a short time. This impudent and shameless rascal has dared to insult the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Who else except the wicked Vena could do like this?" They were saying. So, here we find I told you how many lessons? Six, huh? Yeah, seventh lesson. While offering post or position, tell frankly the opportunities for success and the danger of the misuse of privileges. Both should be told. The king was told both, right? They were telling, "My dear king, if you perform the religious practices yourself and also train your citizens in doing that, what will happen? What is the opportunities for success? You can be elevated to the heaven and all citizens can be happy and you will be happy and you will flourish in prosperity. Your opulence, your fame, your duration of life, your strength, everything will increase. On the other hand, what will happen? What is the misuse of privilege? What are the dangers of misuse of privilege? That also explained. If you don't do that, you will fall down from your opulent position. So, they told him that also. That is the seventh lesson. And the eighth lesson, due to sinful life, one loses all good intelligence and cannot appreciate the words of the wise. So, dinashakale, viparita buddhi viseno. So, buddhi also becomes viparit. So, Vena could not take upadeshohi murkana prakopayana shanti. You heard this? It is said, in one tree, there were some birds living in they were living in the tree. And at one time they realized that now the monsoon is going to start. So let us better make some nice nest. They made a very beautifully covered nest so that they will be saved from the rainfall and the cold of the winter. So there was a monkey also living in the same tree. So these birds were telling the monkey that now it is time now, season is starting. Today evening or tomorrow morning the rain is going to start for the next 3-4 months. Have you made any house? And the monkey said, what is the need of any house? I am living in the tree, I am quite happy. You know, who are you to advise me? He was asking. And then very soon the rain started coming, showering heavily. And all the birds went into their nest. And they were very peaceful. They were not affected by the rain. So the birds were saying, we told you, you see, you need a house. This is why we told you. It's going to be very cold then. And the monkey became very angry. You think you are more intelligent than me? I will tear your house into pieces, you know. And he took the nest and tore it into pieces and threw it off. So it is said, Upadesho hi murkanam prakopayana shante. It is said, if you try to give good advice to a fool, he only becomes angry. So don't give advice to a fool. It is. That's why here, Vena was a fool. They tried to give good advice, but he spoke something else as if he concocted his own philosophy of being the Supreme God. So the sages understood. That's why due to the sinful tendencies, sometimes due to our past sinful tendencies, our mind goes in a certain direction which we know that it is wrong. So that is why it is that Aruna Kori Homane Asha. Don't hear your mind. Because mind is sinful. And the sinful mind directs you in the wrong direction. So cast away such a sinful mind. And fix your intelligence in the words of the Guru. That is why it is said. Somebody says, what to do? My mind is saying that. No, your mind will anyway say that only. Mind is not going to say anything beneficial. So here, Vena did not have enough faith in the Brahmins to follow their good advice. He thought he is more intelligent than them also. He thought they are fools. Just see. So, he could not appreciate the words of the wise. That's it. Ninth lesson. Don't show false compassion to impudent, shameless people who insult God and are likely to bring long-term ruin to society. Don't show false compassion. Here you see the sages. They are Brahmana certainly. But they are not afraid of the king. They only posted him as a king. And they had the power to throw him off also, whenever they wanted. So they did not show false compassion, saying that, okay, my dear king, we accept that you are God. Still you do some duties to citizens. They didn't say. If somebody doesn't represent God properly, they don't deserve to be in that position. They should not continue in that position. They should be thrown off. Sometimes it happens that I don't want to blame any particular temple, but in certain ISKCON temples or some temples, you know, they would have somebody, you know, guiding the project or something, and then they do some mischievous activities, you know, mishandling money or mishandling women or doing some wrong thing, and then they are, you know, that is brought to the leaders and some kind of punishment has to be given to them. They are banned from the position for some time, and sometimes again they post the same person to continue due to the dire need of the situation. Because they feel that this fellow has experience, he has done so many years this kind of good work, and he committed some mistake, and now we are not finding anyone fit, so let him continue. You know, which is very dangerous. Why it is dangerous? Why a person has done something wrong, and again you make him continue that just because the leaders are very busy. You know, people are very busy. Everyone is busy in this world. So wrong things keep they get opportunity, and because of that there will be a public disruption in the long run. So we should learn a lesson from this, that the Brahmanas, you know, they are uncompromising. They didn't show false compassion to Vena. Even if Vena would have, you know, become afraid or whatever by the Brahminical power, still they would have punished him, because unless Vena would follow the path of ideal king, they will not allow him to be the king. And they were determined. So they didn't show any false compassion to the king. They understood he's impudent. They openly told him, you impudent, shameless rascal. So one deserves such a chastisement when one becomes irreligious and one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead by taking his position oneself. They were not thinking that, you know, nowadays you see, there are so many people in the political level who, in the name of supporting, you know, one particular religion of India, they externally show that we are supporting this religion, but secretly they also support the other religion also in order to get the votes. So the, under the table they do many things like that. These are all simply like dogs. They have no character or they have no dignity at all. Because you know, they basically they want votes and they want to fill up their pockets. That's all. But the Brahmanas were not like that. They didn't want a single penny from anyone. They were not there for post or position. They didn't want control or power. They simply contemplated on the welfare of the public. That is why they could speak with such courage to the king, "You impudent rascal or rogue, that you are taking the position of Supreme Personality of Godhead." So they chastised him. After that, what they did? Simply by uttering the word, they said, immediately Vena died on the spot. That's all. That came from the depth of the heart with a deep dissatisfaction because of his misbehavior. Finished. Because Vena was already as good as dead due to his blaspheming the Supreme Lord. He was as good as dead. So now what happened after this Vena died? Now Sunita was very aggrieved at the loss of her son. After all, for a mother, son, no matter how bad a son may be, how mischievous, what a rogue or an impudent rascal, whatever he may be. Like I was there in Bombay, Radhana Swami was speaking in one class. You know, like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, when they were born, there was smoke all over the universe, and all demigods were flying here and there, going to Brahma. Brahma, what has happened? There's a huge smoke everywhere. I think there is going to be some catastrophe. Demigods always, when the demons are born, demigods have difficulty. And then Brahma said, "Don't worry, I will tell you the story, how all these things happen." Then he tells the, you know, four Kumaras going to Vaikuntha, you know. And then Jai Vijay cursed, and then they are going to be born as Asuras. And now the Diti Kashyapa, Diti was sexually afflicted, and then, you know, she wanted a union in the twilight hour. And then Lord Shiva was passing by. And because of that, ultimately, these two great demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, are going to be born now. And that is why this Apashakun and all these omens are seen. So, we have knowledge, don't worry. So, he informed them that time. So, these two people, they created such kind of havoc in the whole universe. And as far as Diti was concerned, what did she feel? They are little naughty boys, you know. Little naughty boys. She thought like that. Because for a mother, no matter what a son, sometimes you have seen the boys, they go to the neighbor's house, you know, they beat up the child, they pinch the child, they take the toy and they kick the child and all that they do. And when the child is crying loud, then the mother sees that this boy is misbehaving with her small child, then she comes to fight with the neighbor. And the neighboring mother, what she will say? "He's a little naughty boy, why are you making a big fuss out of it?" You know, they will say like that. So in the same manner, I find here that Sunita thought, you know, after all, my child is not all that bad. You know, he's a good boy. She thought like that. She wanted to preserve that body. So she thought, "Oh, now he's dead, what to do?" She put some special preservatives to preserve his body and everything. At the time, all the sages assembled at the bank of the Saraswati River and they were sitting and contemplating on the public welfare, what to do. Suddenly they heard the dust storm and the thieves and rogues running here and there, plundering public, and noise and sounds were coming. So they heard that. Now we have to bring the situation under control. It is said in Bhagavatam that it's not that the sages could not control the thieves and rogues. They would have controlled them far more easily than even killing the king Vena. It is even more easy for them to control the rogues and thieves. But the Brahmanas felt it was not their duty. That's why they did not do it. That is why it is said, if it is something is not their duty, although it is possible for them to do, they will not do, Brahmanas. Like we say now, Paradharmat Sva Anushtita. And that says, now the Swadha, what is that verse? Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha Paradharmat Sva Anushtita. Swadharma, what is that? Swadharma Nidhanam Shreya Paradharmo Bayavaha. So they would not do another's duty, although they could control. At the same time, they cannot neglect the citizens either. Because if they would neglect the citizens and say that we will be doing our Brahminical duties without caring for the citizens, then what would happen to them? Their Brahminical prowess will diminish. Exactly like a water kept in a cracked pot will leak. Similarly, they would lose all the Brahminical prowess by neglecting the social welfare. So, which also teaches us a good lesson. This is the 10th lesson. That the sages had the power to subdue the evil elements, but they did not do because it was not their duty. At the same time, one should not ignore the suffering masses and selfishly think about one's own welfare. Rather, one should always make plans to find out how the people can be delivered from the suffering and how they can be protected by pure religious principles. One should always contemplate, and it's the duty of the Brahmins. So they are contemplating. Of course, when the Brahmanas contemplated like this, they could understand that Vena comes in a very good, Vena comes in a dynasty of very great kings, like King Anga and others, you know. And the dynasty is famous for producing godly children. So the semina of that family lineage is very powerful, potent, very divine. So keeping that in mind, they churned the body of Vena and produced Prithu and Archi from that body. And then hear about the great, glorious Prithu Maharaj. So, I was telling about the lessons from the Vena's life, which clearly shows how a king should not be. What are the things? Many lessons, quick lessons that come to our mind. Like, you know, king should not proclaim himself to be Supreme Personality of Godhead out of false pride. A king should not just curb the thieves and rogues, but a king has a far more higher duty to offer guidance, spiritual guidance to the people, religious guidance to the people, and engage them in Varnashrama Dharma, such kind of duties. And the king should not be disrespectful to the Brahmanas. He should be a follower of the Brahmanas. And king should be humble and polite and gentle in his dealings, which Vena was not. A king should not be just harsh and cruel only to the rogues and thieves. But he has his other duty, the spiritual duties. So all these things we learn. Now you can see the Prithu Maharaj, the great Prithu, what kind of king he was. See, here are the eight qualities of ideal king Prithu, which mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. King Prithu will be as powerful as sun god. Just as the sun god distributes sunshine to everyone, Prithu Maharaj will give his mercy equally to all. And just as sun god evaporates water for 8 months during the year and profusely sends it during the rainy season, monsoon time, similarly he will exact the taxes from the citizens and he will give it all back to them as welfare. So two qualities of sun. One is, it absorbs the water and gives it back. 8 months takes water and 4 months it gives it all back as rains. Giving. Actually, Prabhupada says the rain is called as, kamam vavarsha parjanya, it is said. It satisfies all the desires. How? When there are rains, then immediately everywhere there is a potable water. You can drink water. And the fields are full, so the crops grow. So you can get grains also. Then the grasses grow everywhere, cows can eat grass. And when cows eat grass, they can give milk. When cows give milk, everyone can drink milk and their brain tissues will be fine-tuned. Then they can understand, they have the spiritual acumen to understand the spiritual literature and they can make spiritual progress. And when the cows give milk, if the milk is remaining, you can make dahi out of it. And next day you can drink dahi. And if the dahi still remains, you can, churn the dahi and you can make butter out of it. And from the butter you can make ghee. And with the ghee you can perform yajna. Swaha. You can pour the ghee in the yajna kund and that way you can perform yajna for the Lord also. Religious activities. And the excess and from the milk products you can produce many types of sweets. Many types of eatables and we can offer to Lord and we can eat. So just from the rain how much comes, you see. Only from rain everything comes. That is why it's called as kamam avarsha parjanya. And the rains will come only when the Brahminical activities are done. Yajna is performed. So that is one thing, that just like the sun gives back everything in the form of rains, that's one thing. And also sun is equal to all. It doesn't discriminate who is poor, who is rich. I will only give light to rich people's houses. No. It gives light to everyone. Equal to all. Like that he was equal to all. And secondly, he will always be tolerant and forgiving. Thirdly, when there is a drought, the king will supply rainfall, just like Indra. And fourthly, affectionate glances from his smiling, moon-like face will enhance everyone's peaceful life. You see, fifth one, no one will be able to understand his policies or the condition of his treasury, for his activities will be very confidential. Which means nobody would wonder how the whole country is running. Nobody knows. Everything runs like a well-oiled clock. But he will be able to manage affairs very wonderfully. Sixth, he says, will be able to see all of the internal and external activities of the citizens. He can see, he knows in and out of the society. Seventh, he will remain neutral and dealing with even his enemy or son. If enemy is free from guilt, he will not punish him. If a son is guilty for some wrong act, he will punish him. Like that. So these are the eight qualities of an ideal king that are predicted, which will be exhibited by King Prithu. Of course, later on you find when Prithu becomes a... See, there is a... At the end of the Prithu section, there are some beautiful analogies given. 12 qualities of a... 12 qualities of King Prithu with beautiful analogies. You see, just sure tell you those analogies. He'll be as strong as Indra. That is the first quality. He'll be... Because Indra has a thunderbolt, which thunderbolt is the most powerful weapon of the demigods headed by Indra. He has. He'll be as strong as Indra in punishing the sinful people. But he'll be, secondly, as tolerant as the earth. People are doing deep hole oil drilling. People are passing stool urine all over the earth, all over the globe, everywhere. But earth is very tolerant. He'll be as tolerant as the earth. As rainfall satisfies everyone's desires, Prithu distributed mercy to all. Then fourthly, he says, philanthropic work. How he did? He did as if he was working for his own self. Like all of us in our life, we do. When we know that something is for me, we do it very hard, right? So like that, Prithu Maharaj did service for other people. He did like that. And like fifth one, he gives example. Like the sea, in... that no one can understand his depths. His heart was so deep. No one could. The more people came closer to him, the more they could appreciate his great godly qualities. It was very deep. Sixthly, like Mount Meru, he was fixed in his purpose. He was very determined. If something is right, he would do it anyway. Seventh, opulence was compared with the Himalayan mountains, where all kinds of valuables and metals and jewels are stocked. His opulence. Eighth one, like the wind, his influence was felt everywhere. See, ninth, in his bodily beauty, he was just like a cupid. And tenth, in thoughtfulness, he was like a lion. Why in thoughtfulness he was like a lion? They say lion has certain qualities, very special qualities. When a lion is running behind a deer or something, after some time it will stop, and then look around and see his pace. How nicely I am running. Am I picking up good speed? Then he will run again, fast. So he is very good in planning. Then he runs. So it's called a Simha Avalokam. Lokana Swami was telling. Simha Avalokam means, Avalokam means in a glance. So he will study his own pace and then he will continue running. And also it is said, lion will never do a half-hearted job. If he takes a job, he will thoroughly do it. Even if he does a small job, he will do it thoroughly. Sometimes we take a big job and we do it haphazardly. But lion takes even a small job, he will do it very thoroughly. That's why he's saying he will be like a lion. You see? Yeah. In terms of self-control, he seemed to rival the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of self-control. And Prithu's reputation was loudly declared throughout the entire universe. And his character and activities were as pleasing as Lord Ramachandra. Because actually Prithu also is a partial expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a special incarnation. These qualities are said. We just read the qualities here, but there are some descriptions in the Prithu's. You see, this is really worth hearing what Prithu is speaking to the assembly of his citizens. Very wonderful it is.
Yeah.
King Prithu is saying here, oh, gentle members of the assembly, may all good, he's calling all citizens and he's speaking to them now. May all good fortune be upon you. May all of you great souls who have come to attend this meeting kindly hear my prayer attentively. A person who is actually inquisitive must present his decision before an assembly of noble souls. And then Prabhupada writes the purport, when a person is very great and famous, many unscrupulous persons become his enemies. For envy is the nature of materialists. In any meeting, there are different classes of men. And it is supposed, therefore, that because Prithu Maharaj was very great, he must have had several enemies present in the assembly, although they could not express themselves. Maharaj Prithu, however, was concerned with persons who were gentle, and therefore he first addressed all the honest persons, not caring for the envious. He did not, however, present himself as a royal authority, empowered to command everyone, for he wanted to present his statement in a humble submission before the assembly of great sages and saintly people. So he's telling them, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, I have been appointed the king of this planet, and I carry the scepter to rule the citizens, protect them from all danger, and give them employment according to their respective positions in the social order established by Vedic injunction. See, same thing he says here. To protect them from danger and give them employment according to their occupational duties. For the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada is saying here in the purport, if one is president or king, it should be understood that this opportunity has been given to him by the Supreme Lord. According to, it's not by some chance that one is placed in that position. So it is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So one should understand that one should act as a representative of the Supreme Lord. And then Prithu is continuing, I think that upon the execution of my duties as a king, I shall be able to achieve the desirable objectives described by the experts in Vedic knowledge. This destination is certainly achieved by the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, he's saying. And he's telling them, any king who does not teach his citizens about their respective duties in terms of varna and ashrama, but who simply exact taxes from them, is liable to suffer for the impious activities which have been performed by the citizens. You see? Like, you know, if you are accepting charity from people, but you don't teach them how to engage in varnashrama for the pleasure of the Lord, then we will be forced to take their sins on us. You understand what you are saying? That means, you know, we become obligated. For example, we accept charity, we become obligated to them. And how do we give back our obligation to them? By engaging them in Lord's service, in varnashrama. Prabhupada is saying in the purport, you see, for example, if one eats in a place which is very sinful, he shares in the resultant reaction of his sinful activities performed there. It is a Vedic system, therefore, for a householder to call the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to eat at ceremonial performances in his house, because the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas can immunize him from sinful activities. But it is not the duty of rigid Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to accept invitations everywhere. That's Prabhupada saying. There is, of course, no objection to taking part in feasts in which prasadam is distributed. There are many subtle laws which are practically unknown to the people in general. But the Krishna movement is very scientifically distributing all this Vedic knowledge, Prabhupada saying. Anyway, Prithu Maharaj is saying, therefore, my dear citizens, for the welfare of your king, after his death, you should execute your duties properly in terms of your positions of varna and ashrama, and should always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your hearts. By doing so, you will protect your own interests and you will bestow mercy upon your king for his welfare after death. And then Prabhupada writes in the purport, the king and citizen should both be Krishna conscious, otherwise both of them will be doomed to lower species of life after death. Prithu Maharaj, there was specifically requested citizens to act in Krishna consciousness, and he was also very anxious to teach them how to become Krishna conscious. And then he's telling them, my dear respectable ladies and gentlemen, according to the authoritative statements of Shastra, There must be a supreme authority who is able to award the respective benefits of our present activities. Otherwise, why should there be persons who are unusually beautiful and powerful, both in this life and in this life after death? So he's preaching to them law of karma. And then he's telling them, this is confirmed not only, by the evidence of the Vedas, but also by the personal behavior of great personalities like Manu, Uttanapa, Dhruva, Priyavrat, my grandfather Anga, as well as by many other great personalities and ordinary living entities, exemplified by Maharaj Prahlad and Bali. That believing in the existence of the Supreme Lord, that one should have firm faith in the Supreme Lord, like that he is saying. He is first giving them the faith in the Supreme Lord. Although he is saying, abominable persons like my father Vena, and the grandfather of death personified, are bewildered on the path of religion, all the great personalities like those mentioned agree that in this world the only bestower of benedictions of religion is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, only he can give. By the inclination to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, suffering humanity can immediately cleanse the dirt which has accumulated in their minds during innumerable births, like the Ganges water which emanates from the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a process immediately cleanses the mind and thus spiritual consciousness gradually increases. In this way he is preaching to them many things. We will see towards the end what he says. Prithu Maharaj advises citizens, engaging your minds, your words, your bodies in the results of your occupational duties, and being always open-minded, you should all render devotional service to the Lord according to your abilities and occupations in which you are situated. Either is telling them. And he's talking about the Supreme Lord, many things. So this is in a big assembly he's giving. And then he's glorifying the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are personally glorified by their characteristic powers of tolerance, penance, knowledge, education. The Vaishnavas are more powerful than royalty. The princely order is not able to exhibit its material prowess before these two communities, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and should avoid offending them. So then there are a few verses where he talks the glorification of the Brahmanas. By regular service to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, one can clear the dirt from his heart and enjoy supreme peace and liberation from material attachment and be satisfied. So the brilliant point comes towards the end. Anyway, it goes on. Oh, respectful personalities present here, I beg the blessings of all of you that I may perpetually carry on my crown. On my crown, the dust of the lotus feet of such Brahmanas and Vaishnavas until the end of my life. He who can carry such dust on his head is very soon relieved of all the reactions which arise from sinful life, and eventually he develops all good and desirable qualities. So at the end he will tell them about going back to Godhead also, you will see. In his preaching. Of course, now the audience is glorifying him. So he will tell them about how the goal of life is to go back, come back to Godhead and preaching, the king preaching to the citizens. So I did not read one section where how Prithu Maharaj ruled the citizens is explained also in one of the chapters. Very beautiful chapter. Different qualities which he ruled. So in this shloka purport which we read today, the glorification of how Yudhishthira Maharaj trained Parikshit as a king. So the training is very important. Prabhupada says in one of his purports that training to become God conscious is sometimes a little disturbing to the practitioners. He says there is a little difficulty involved. Why? Because we have conditionings from the previous life, and training is something which works against those conditionings. Like for example, rising early, coming down to our practical life level, rising early in the morning, chanting the holy name, coming in the assembly of Vaishnavas, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, rendering different type of services. In order to do these things in a very regulated fashion, some discipline is needed. And such a discipline may be sometimes painful. Prabhupada says it's like a military discipline in one of his purports. And it's wanted, most wanted. Somebody may say, Just look at the soldiers, you know, left, right, left. Why are they, it's an empty ground, they are walking back and forth. Why are they wasting their morning? Why don't they peacefully sleep, you know? They also get up early morning, you've seen that? And there is no Pakistanis here to shoot or something, you know. But they are not fools. They are taking training now. When they take training, when there will be India-Pak war, that time they can go. When you are trained, without training, if they have been sleeping, imagine for 4 or 5 years, 10 years they are sleeping, eating, sleeping. Suddenly war comes. They will not be able to get up. They will be finished. Isn't it? Similarly, death is the examination. Life is a preparation. So, now somebody may say, why you guys are getting up early morning, jumping up and down? Have you become a pure devotee now? You know. Of course, we have not become pure devotee, but we are apprentice pure devotee. You know? We are doing the activities of a pure devotee, although we have not yet achieved the consciousness of a pure devotee. That will take some time. But keep practicing, a time will come when the Krishna consciousness will awaken in our hearts. Totally, fully. It will fully blossom. But we have to keep taking the training, the practice. So, Parikshit was so well trained by Yudhishthira in all these principles. Vishnu Maharaj also, such qualities, submissiveness to the brahmanas and sages, love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such dealings with his brothers and citizens. Yudhishthira Maharaj was most loved in his times when he was the king. So when he was handing over the, first of all, when he handed over the kingdom to Parikshit, one reason why people accepted it is because Yudhishthira is choosing someone as a king. Whoever it be, we don't care. He must be a good person. That comes from where? That comes from people's faith in Yudhishthira Maharaj itself. That's one reason. And another reason, although people didn't know about Parikshit, still Parikshit also exhibited such qualities, exactly like his grandfather's, that people's faith became doubly convinced. They became doubly convinced by seeing the behavior of Parikshit Maharaj also. Like he was also protecting the citizens from the evil forces of Kaliraj on one hand, and he was also engaging all the people in, whatever taxes he collected, it said Parikshit Maharaj, he engaged in the Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan everywhere in his times. That is said in Bhagavatam. He engaged all that wealth in the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was very smart. He was a very smart king in keeping the whole world very Krishna conscious. And after Parikshit passed away, then the Kali became very dominant, very powerful, and it is now degrading. Now in the modern times we can see how when we read the qualities of the great kings from the Shastra, how they were trained. Prabhupada says a king should be first trained for his character. Education qualification is not as important as character. Character is primary qualification. Of course, after a king is having character, what is character? Following 4 regulative principles strictly. And after a king has that, then it's also important that king is skilled and educated. He has the competence to manage the citizens and to elevate the citizens in spiritual life, all that is needed. But in the modern times, one of the qualifications for becoming a politician is that you should have gone to jail several times. What a big hoodlum you have been before. Sometimes you see politicians with big mustache. The bigger the mustache, the more harsh look you have, you can become a bigger politician. Isn't it? So, nowadays, and they don't have any qualification at all, no education qualification. They're mostly illiterates. Anguta chap. And no character. They should have broken all 4 regulative principles successfully. So you have to be like Jagai Madai to become a big politician today. So that is the problem. So when such people come to the top and they swindle the money of the public, and the public, how terribly they will suffer, you can see. And Yatha Raja, Tada Praja. People say, if Raja is doing that, why we will not do so? Everyone is doing that. So you may ask, what is the need of use of speaking that good times of the world? Is it going to bring about any change in society? We are just talking. So you try to think, Prabhupada was one man who wrote all these purports and everything. And now, you know, such a radical change has brought in the whole world. Now practically there are hundreds of centers and over 1 million devotees worldwide chanting Hare Krishna and practicing these principles. So Prabhupada used to say, if I can do, one man, old man can do this much. And you people, all young people, how much you can do? So it's not impossible to bring that type of Ram Rajya, or Yudhishthir Rajya, Parikshit Rajya, Putra Rajya. It can be brought about gradually over a period of time. The pure principles can be spreaded by sincere practice. First of all, the best preaching is our own example. First we become example. Because you know there is no bigger preaching than setting an example. No matter how much you loudly shout with the mouth, it won't enter the hearts of people unless they see a good example. You know, even for example, ISKCON has distributed so many books worldwide. Millions and millions of books. We are one of the largest religious book publisher and distributor in the whole world. And why people are not immediately taken to Krishna consciousness? One of the reasons is that books are carrying first class knowledge, but people are not able to see many first class practitioners. People get the book, they read the book, and when they come and see, in many places they have difficulty seeing ideal examples. So there's a great challenge upon us. What is the challenge? Now when people see, read Prabhupada's books, they will read about who a Vaishnava is. And they will come and say, where is a Vaishnava? I want to meet a Vaishnava. So we have to become Vaishnavas first. Proper Vaishnavas. If we cannot show the example of a good Vaishnava, then how we can attract the people? So that is a challenge. And we have to become good and we have to produce very high quality devotees. So they have to become like magnets, attracting more and more and more people. And it is likely, in the West, one of Prabhupada's disciples stood in the election. He stood in the election and he got some votes also. He got some 900 votes or something, And Prabhupada said, anybody voted for you, they voted for Krishna. Very good, they will get some special punya. So, some ISKCON leaders are standing here and there in election and all. It's likely that sometime in future we may have MLAs and MPs from ISKCON. It's likely. So they may be wearing tilak and with shikha they may be going to the parliament. You can imagine in parliament people are pulling the politicians off the chairs like cats and dogs. And you can imagine a Vaishnava going there. Tomorrow we may have a Prime Minister of India, a Vaishnava devotee. It's likely. And actually it is not some utopian dream. Prabhupada said that when he wrote a letter to Indira Gandhi, Prabhupada said, all the MLAs and MPs should be second initiated Brahmanas. Prabhupada said. Of course, if that is the demand Prabhupada made, he wanted Indira Gandhi also to become a devotee. Because if Prime Minister of India is above them, naturally he or she has to be a devotee also. So there is some hope for the brighter future of India when such people come. Sometimes when I go to IITs and NITs, boys say they want to do IAS, they want to become collectors and they want to curb corruption, or they want to occupy big positions. We should encourage them. If they have the talent, if they have the competence, if they can be Vaishnavas at the same time, they can be like that. It is a very great boon for the society. Then there is some possibility of some change in society. Such leaders are necessary. Because the presence of such leaders is so powerful and so vibrant, it will have a tremendous impact on the people. Now, otherwise, if ordinary people keep speaking about it is not enough. People have to see many, many, many examples. So, in the Vedic times, there was monarchy. Monarchy means one king in the top and all citizens following him. So, you can imagine if such example like Yudhishthir Maharaj, Arjuna, Parikshit, Prithu Maharaj. So, Prabhupada said, Kshatriyas are supposed to help the Brahmanas propagate Krishna consciousness. But what are the Kshatriyas of Kali Yuga doing? They are filling up their pockets and selfishly, before they are thrown off their seats, they want to grab as much as they can and go, And then they use all that money to do canvassing and propaganda to again occupy the chair, next time. Nowadays, political position means the more money you have, the more lorries you can fill up with people to get political votes. And then you can again grab little more. Again you may be given a post until you are put in the jail and thrown off. Just see what a shameful situation. Actually, they took a survey of corruption all over the world. India has a very high rank. It has a very big rank because it has become very corrupt. The country which is so holy and so great, which we are reading in the scriptures, it has become so condemned and corrupted now. That's why sufferings are also increasing. So each of us, we should contribute in our own way. As I told you, firstly by setting a good example. Then we study all these things. Secondly, by preaching it to people, now the marathon is coming, we'll be distributing the books to many, many people, reaching out to the masses. Delhi temple, this time their target is 3.5 lakh Bhagavad Gitas. Last time they were world number one. Similarly, Juhu, their target is, I think, 2 lakh Bhagavad Gitas, I think. And Chowpatty, their target is 1 lakh Bhagavad Gita they have. So even if you're not doing a lakh, at least something we should do. So we have to distribute. This has to reach out to people. Knowledge has to reach out to people. So they are getting subsidy on a large scale from big, big companies. You know what they are doing? They get, one company has given them 60 lakh rupees for subsidizing Bhagavad Gitas. So they subsidize the whole Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is free only. But they don't give Bhagavad Gita free. What they do? If you buy 5 small books, along with that 1 Bhagavad Gita free, they give. That means 5 small books for 50 rupees you buy, then all the students who buy 50 rupees worth of small books, they get 1 Bhagavad Gita free. Wonderful, no? So students first grab the Bhagavad Gita. First you give that and then they take the small books. So we are also thinking we will try something like that in Pune. So that is something which is within our reach. You know, we don't have monarchy now to rule over the world, or occupying MLA, MP post in position is not very easy for any average devotee. But, and even if you occupy, to bring about a change in society is not an easy joke. There has to be a large scale radical change to be brought about. But ISKCON temples are like light emitting centers in different places. Centers are starting, ratayatras are happening, book distribution is happening, prasadam distribution is happening, kirtan, harinam sankirtan is done everywhere. So gradually by Maharishi Prabhupada, who spread it worldwide, and things are taking good shape. So we all have a big responsibility. When I read that, I was shocked that if a Brahmana has the knowledge, but he does not distribute it for the welfare of the public, and unless he is not in a ignorance eradicating mission, if he is not doing that, then his knowledge will leak like water kept in a cracked pot, he says. So we should not shun our duties. We should not become lazy to perform our duty. We have to reach out to the people. When people read these things, they will understand what is real life. They will understand. Also, I would like to introduce our Vanamali Prabhu, who is from Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.